Please rise out of reverence for Christ and in a rehearsal of the resurrection. The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to admit, it's quite something to come back from family leave with a newborn, sleep-deprived, and be given Holy Trinity Sunday to preach the doctrine of God 3-in-1 and 1-in-3. So listen carefully for my own benefit. You know, with a newborn at home, it's kind of nice to come back and have a gospel story that takes place in the middle of night when people should be sleeping. Here comes Nicodemus to Jesus in the wee hours of the dark. And he has this encounter with Jesus. This conversation unfolds between these two men. And we begin to see that what was promised at the beginning of John's gospel in chapter 1 is now being extended and expressed in this conversation in the middle of the night. In John's prologue in the first chapter, he says, "To all who received Christ, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God." This now comes to fruition in this late night conversation with Nick at night. So on May 10th, we welcomed our fourth son into the world. Abel Jesse was born, and he was in fact born of blood, of the will of the flesh, and of the will of man and wife. But that process was not entirely clear to his older brothers. Every time Andrea would go to the OB for an appointment, Emmett thought perhaps this would be the appointment where Dr. Mertz would give us our baby. But lo and behold, this took a long time and a lot of waiting. Another one of our sons, after we were talking about the process, he stopped suddenly and said, "Wait, you guys decided to have a baby?" He just assumed it strikes you like lightning along the way. And by the time you rock your newborn baby in the middle of the night, he feels like nothing but pure gift and grace and gassiness. Abel was conceived first in our minds and later in Andrew's womb, but conception and life itself was gifts beyond our control. That Abel developed in utero beyond what mom could actively direct with her thoughts and actions. The baby and Andrea's body knew what to do as the hand of God fearfully and wonderfully knit him together. In adoption circles, there's the phrase gotcha day. Not the birthday of the child, but the day in which the adoptive child comes home. The gotcha day. And for us, we had sort of our own gotcha day because during COVID, we couldn't have visitors at the hospital. And so for 3 days, it was us and our baby boy and those poor older brothers who waited a lifetime, it seemed, for baby brother to be born, had to wait day after day until on the third day, they had their gotcha day. And he came home and we were a family of six for the first time. It's hard to wait. So I can understand Nicodemus here coming in the middle of the night to Jesus with all of his questions, all that he's wondering about. People have wondered why he came at night. Perhaps he was afraid to be seen associating with Jesus because he was, after all, a teacher, a Pharisee, a ruler, a well-thought-of man, and perhaps Nicodemus didn't want to be associated with the wrong people. Although later on in the gospel, he does stick up for Jesus and suggests they give him a fair trial. Perhaps he comes at night simply because John is giving us a thematic kind of thing, where in this chapter, Nick comes at night, a ruler, a man, a powerful person, and he does not understand Jesus. And then in the next chapter, a peasant woman, a Samaritan, comes to Jesus in the middle of the day, and she comes to faith in him, and she runs and tells her fellow villagers that the Messiah has come. It could be simply that Nicodemus is a busy man and it's not until nighttime that he actually has time to stop and think. When the demands of the day are finished and he can't sleep and his mind is racked as he rolls around and he finally decides to just go ahead to the rabbi himself and ask these questions. And I think I'm not the only one who has late night conversations with Jesus, whether you're rocking a newborn or not. Nick is a sign seeker. He says to Jesus, "We know you're from God because of all these signs you're doing. You must have the presence of God in order to do these things." Nicodemus is canny. He's shrewd. He has good judgment. He's canny. And he loves the word can. He says four things or so, and all of them have the word can in it. He says, "No one can do these signs apart from God's presence." Later on, when Jesus describes the new birth that is required, Nicodemus says, "Well, how can anyone be born a second time after having been grown old? Can one enter again into the mother's womb and be born?" And then finally, after a further response from Jesus, Nicodemus throws his hands up and says, "How can these things be?" Dale Bruner comments that Nicodemus seems canny to a fault. He's fixated totally on what human beings can and cannot do, or can or cannot have done to them. He's focused entirely on what he thinks are human possibilities or capabilities. And over the course of this late night conversation, Jesus lays out a trinity of gotchas. The first gotcha, the new birth by the Spirit. The second gotcha, the descent and ascension of the Son of God. And the third gotcha, the Father who so loved the world that he gave. First, Jesus answers Nicodemus and says, "Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." The word is flexible. It can mean born again from above. In any case, Nicodemus doesn't get it. He's thinking about earthly things. It's impossible, he imagines, how he could end up back in his mother's womb and be born a second time. And I can tell you, it doesn't take long to hold a newborn and say, "How in the world did this fit inside of Andrea? And how in the world could you have a baby even bigger than him back inside of her right now?" It seems impossible, very quickly, that anyone could be born again. So Jesus says, "No, you must be born of water and the Spirit." Of course, he's speaking of baptism. Jesus is not going to work with Nicodemus here. He's not going to play at his game. He knows Nicodemus is a sign seeker. He reads the signs and he says, "Jesus, you must be from God." But Jesus, instead of playing along with this spiritual journey, he actually removes Nicodemus from this path altogether. The way Luther says it is that Jesus will take away from Nicodemus everything in which he feels secure and make a new man of him, giving him a new heart and enabling him to walk by faith. If you want to be kind in understanding Nicodemus, you could say that he at least wonders if Jesus could point him in the right direction. that Nicodemus wants to know how to go forward, how to move closer to God or to Jesus, how to advance, spiritually speaking. And Nicodemus seems to be saying, what's wrong with the distance I've been going? I can't be born again. That's impossible. But at least help me get a little further along this path. Perhaps Nicodemus has just a little way to go for this Pharisee to find God. Maybe other people have further to go. But help me, Jesus, along this path that I find myself. But Jesus won't play this game. He won't let the teacher of Israel play this game, and he won't let you or I play this game. Jesus knows that we do not understand these things and must be born again by the Spirit's power through water and the Word. The second gotcha is the descent and ascension of Jesus, of the only one who came down from heaven and ascends again. He gives this picture from Moses' life when Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness and the people in the Exodus looked at the snake and were cured of the snake-bitten curse that they found upon themselves. And he brings that image forward and says, now when I, the Son of Man, am lifted up, anyone who believes in me will have eternal life. And he's speaking of the cross, because the Son of God descended all the way to the cross for us and for our salvation. Jesus is not only from God, like Nicodemus understood from the signs, but Jesus is God, that he is the eternally begotten Son of the Father who has now been made flesh, the living Word incarnate, who had come down for our salvation all the way to death, even death on a cross, bearing our sins so that on the third day he might be raised again for new life and he might ascend, as the scriptures say, far above even the heavens, that he might fill all things. The third gotcha is that our Father is a heavenly Father who adopts us in great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. The Father gives us second birth. He grants us adoption. He grants us the status as baptized sons and daughters of God. Paul expands on this in the reading we had from Romans. Paul says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. This second birth, this rebirth, this great gotcha from God is something more than an improvement in our old life, whether we're far ahead with Nicodemus or lagging behind. Rather than an improvement in this old life, this new birth gives us a new origin story, and it's something we cannot give ourselves. Nicodemus, you love the word can, but instead of wondering how can these things be, look at Jesus and wonder, how could these things not be? How could God not give us a future birth? How could the author of life not bring new life out of death? Today we celebrate the Holy Trinity, God in three persons, the three gotchas of God. We've all already had our own birthday when God the Father gave us to our families. Most of us have had the Spirit's gotcha day of baptism, in which by water and the Word, God named us his own adoptive and beloved children. And all of us are awaiting that great and final gotcha day of resurrection when the Son, Jesus Christ, returns and brings us to himself and brings us home to the Father in whose house there are many rooms, who has prepared a place for you. Resurrection, reunion, the renewal of all things. This is the delight of God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, our oldest three sons had to wait for the third day to meet baby brother and say, I got you. And all of us who trust in Christ must wait a lifetime between our second and third gotcha days. But God has got us, and God will lead us home. By means of baptism and the Word of God, God places you and your faith into the lap of our dear mother, the church. And like a mother, Christ speaks through the church and comforts his people. He says, I got you. I got you. I got you. You are my baptized and beloved child. Come and eat and drink. All shall be well. I got you. I got you. I got you. Amen.